take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, October 6th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Hope you're having a great day. I am back in the studio here in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, and let me underscore boldface and italicize legal. Where I'm at right here, I don't need to get a permission slip from some doctor for my arrest anxiety syndrome. Just being 21 years old means I'm legal. It means there's no more drug sniffing dogs here because it's legal. It means that cops can't claim they smell pot and start harassing me because it's legal. The reason I emphasize legal, of course, is that yesterday I was in Sacramento for the great Prop 64 debate, which is really just an opportunity for the stoners against legalization to have their day in the sun and to pretty much just heckle and hate on me. So it was a lot of fun. And my apologies that it did not appear here on CannabisRadio.com live or in replay. I literally had the most FUBAR snafu'd event that I've ever had in my activism career. Everything, like every step of the way involved in this event, except for the lift rides were great. Everything had something that went wrong with it. My plane was late. My hotel was overbooked. I forgot to print my notes. I couldn't get the live streaming to work. The sound man turned the levels up too high on my recording and ruined the sound. Just like everything that could go wrong went wrong. So I apologize. I really, really tried to get that debate on live for you. I'm seeking out recordings of the debate. Apparently it was recorded, videoed by the organizers, budtracker.com. As soon as I have that, I'll bring that to you, let you hear it, post it on my SoundCloud. But today, I'm going to go on an extended radical rant to tell you about the fear and loathing in Sacramento. The incredible paranoia and delusion being demonstrated by cannabis consumers who oppose ending their own criminality. So we'll talk about that in depth, and I'll bring to you the facts, science, reason, and logic that they wouldn't listen to yesterday in our extended radical rant. Also on the show today, we'll have time to get into some drug war data mining. There's a new survey that's out. They asked a bunch of doctors about various health issues that you might tell them about. And of those issues, how concerned would they be? One of those issues was your smoking of marijuana. And we'll tell you just how worried doctors are about that in drug war data mining. Also on the show, we'll get behind the headlines where in Massachusetts, they're still waiting to pass question 4 to legalize marijuana. But in the meantime, the cops have raided and taken down the drug kingpin of an 81-year-old woman who was growing a single cannabis plant. Yeah, we'll tell you the details on that right after the Cannabis Radio News. And in the headlines today, the U.S. drug czar has admitted something we've known for a long time about the federal government and medical marijuana. We've got the first legal sales just about to happen in the state of Alaska. We'll give you the latest updates there. We've got new sales figures for Illinois' medical marijuana program that set a new high watermark. We got the governor of Ohio empaneling a new medical marijuana advisory board, and one of his selections is pretty damn shocking. And the NFL and its players have made a change to their drug testing regimen. But no, it's not to allow the players to use medical cannabis. We'll tell you what they're after when we come back. Plus, stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls live at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. I'm Radical Russ, live in legal Potland, Oregon. We'll be back with the news right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter for Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to like track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Each year on my birthday, every American gets a cupcake.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, October 6th, 2016. U.S. drug czar Michael Botticelli admitted that the federal government has been impeding research on the medicinal qualities of cannabis. In an interview with Politico, Botticelli said, quote, "I do think it's a somewhat fair criticism that the government hasn't fully supported research to really investigate what's the potential therapeutic value. And I think the administration, the DEA, and others have done a number of things to continue to promote good scientific research and diminish some of the barriers that we've heard from the research community." End quote. Botticelli also added that, quote, "The previous policy and practice of arresting and incarcerating people doesn't work." End quote. Noting that the, quote, "policy of the past had a disproportionate impact of people on people of color." End quote. Yet recently, the government once again rejected the rescheduling of cannabis from Schedule 1, maintaining the greatest impediment to research and guaranteeing more arrests and incarceration of people of color will happen in the forthcoming years. Alaska is nearing its first legal sales of marijuana nearly 2 years after voters approved the recreational use of pot by adults. Retail stores are being permitted by the State Marijuana Control Board, and just a few hurdles remain until commercial sales begin. The biggest obstacle is waiting for labs to test the raw product. Two labs have been licensed by the state, both in Anchorage. One of those, CanTest, should be open by mid to late October, said co-owner Mark Malagotti. The facility is awaiting final inspection from the municipality and state and final approval from an accrediting lab. The first store to complete all its paperwork and is ready to open is the Remedy Shop in the southeast Alaska tourist town of Skagway. Illinois medical marijuana sales reached more than $3.8 million last month at licensed dispensaries throughout the state. The state released new monthly figures for the sales on Wednesday. September's sales figures bring the total retail sales in Illinois to $23.5 million since purchasing began in November last year, topping the $20 million mark for the first time. The program now includes 11,100 patients with state approval to buy marijuana legally. 85 of those patients are children and teenagers. The number of dispensaries continues to grow, too, with 44 now licensed to sell medical marijuana. Meanwhile, 7 lawsuits have been filed by Illinois patients who want their medical conditions added to the list of qualifying conditions and are working their way through the courts. The cases could expand the number of patients eligible for the program. Ohio Governor John Kasich has made his first appointments to the state's Medical Marijuana Advisory Board, and they include one member from a group that is referred to medical marijuana as, quote, highly toxic, impure, and harmful, end quote. Tony Coder is the head of the Ohio affiliate of Kevin Sabet's Project SAM, the nation's leading anti-marijuana reform group, that believes, quote, smoked marijuana is not medicine, end quote. He is also a board member of the Drug-Free Action Alliance, a group that believes 1970s tokers were smoking pot with, quote, less than 1% THC, end quote, and that marijuana users, quote, often die from a safety incident related to impairment, end quote, and that an ounce of marijuana, quote, yields approximately 84 joints, end quote, that would provide 2 weeks of, quote, continual high per ounce, end quote, based on their estimates that marijuana potency is, quote, 10 times stronger than the marijuana from the 1970s, end quote, and that their 1/3 gram joints provide, quote, 4 hours of intoxication, end quote. The National Football League and its players' union have agreed to modify their drug testing regimen to include synthetic cannabinoids and certain growth hormone enhancers. The move Wednesday comes as many players are calling for the NFL to accept the use of medical marijuana by players to combat head trauma and painkiller addiction, only to be told that the drug testing agreement between the league and the players is locked in and can't be renegotiated until it expires in 2021. The NFL also maintains that its doctors have not seen enough evidence to conclude that marijuana is as safe for the players to use as the toxic, addictive opioid painkillers they regularly dole out to players who crash into each other with the force of a speeding truck. Apparently, the NFL can add dangerous drugs immediately, but cannot remove medicines until 2021. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, October 6, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
What can Arizona learn from Colorado? We can tightly regulate and tax the sale of marijuana. According to the Colorado State Government, marijuana use among high school students has not increased since legalization. At the same time, Colorado is generating millions in new tax dollars for public schools. Here in Arizona, we finally have a choice. We can vote yes on Prop 205 and provide $55 million to our public schools every year. Let's vote yes on Prop 205.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today we take a look at a story that appeared in the New Hampshire Daily Gazette, and it concerns a story out of Massachusetts that involves an 81-year-old grandma living in South Amherst and her single solitary cannabis plant. The woman's name is Margaret Holcomb, and she says she's got arthritis, glaucoma, and insomnia,
and she was growing her single solitary cannabis plant to give her some medicine. It was in a raspberry patch. It was separated by a fence from neighbors. It's just about ready to harvest when on September 21st, a military helicopter descended upon her property. This was a joint raid, pardon the pun, by the Massachusetts National Guard and the state police to cut down one cannabis plant. Her son, Tim Holcomb, said it was scary as hell. He was at his mom's house eating lunch with his sister when they saw the military helicopter circling their property and two men crouching and holding up a thermal imager to detect marijuana plants. Now, the grandma wasn't home at the time. Within 10 minutes of the helicopter showing up, a bunch of cop vehicles show up at the house, including a pickup truck filled with other marijuana plants that had been seized in other locations, plus several state troopers. According to Holcomb, the trooper asked him if he knew there was a marijuana plant growing on the property, and Holcomb answered, "What are you doing here?" Good answer. And then Holcomb says that the state cops told him that if he didn't demand to see a warrant, if he would just let the cops onto the property to take the plant away, then there'd be no charges filed. Basically an ultimatum that if you assert your Fourth Amendment rights, that we will retaliate by throwing your 81-year-old grandmother in prison for the felony of cultivating a cannabis plant for medicinal purposes in a state that has decriminalized the possession of an ounce and a state that has a medical marijuana program and a state that is likely to vote on legalization in November. Let us in or we press charges. Holcomb says the officer said, quote, "We just want the illegal contraband," end quote. 81-year-old grandma, glaucoma, arthritis, insomnia, and they've got to get that contraband. It's obviously a huge drug kingpin at work there, ready to poison the children of Massachusetts with her illicit devil's lettuce, right? This is just another example of these drug war cops that recognize the handwriting on the wall, that understand there is an end coming to their easy overtime, to their taxpayer-funded, to their federal grant-funded harvesting of cannabis plants for profit. That's what it's really about. These cops get overtime when they go out there. They get all sorts of benefits going out there. They get all sorts of grants for seizing cannabis plants. This is just a year after one of the medical marijuana proponents was prosecuted by a National Guard helicopter that observed plants in the backyard. And this is happening all around the state. What's going on here is that these authorities have budgets, and the budgets are specifically earmarked for eradication programs. And it's one of those situations that happens in state government where if you don't spend all your money, you don't get to have that money. So they just want to spend the money and get as much of the overtime as they can for as long as they can still do it. As long as they can still take advantage of prohibition for a profit, they're going to do it. Now, the lawyer representing the grandma says, quote, "Is this the way we want our taxpayer money spent, to hassle an 81-year-old and law-abiding patients?" And the police chief says, the police chief in the city says he's unaware that the state cops and the National Guard were going after this grandma. and then not pressing any charges. If the state has a problem with the cannabis plant, if it's so terrible that we need to spend taxpayer money to fund the gas that propels a helicopter, which, by the way, a helicopter is the most inefficient form of transportation mankind has ever devised, energy-wise, right, consumption-wise. We can afford that. If we're going to put all those resources, if it's so much of a crime that we got to threaten these people, then why are no charges being pressed if it's so threatening? Not that I'm asking for them to press charges here, but it's just obvious to me that they're doing this for their own personal profit and without regard to the feelings of the people of Massachusetts, who clearly would not want this 81-year-old grandmother to be locked up for the rest of her natural life as some sort of drug felon when she clearly was trying to use this for medical purposes.
Cannabis exit stage left.
But I think they're going to find this backfires on them. This is probably the worst sort of public relations the cops could have engaged in as we're approaching a legalization vote in Massachusetts. I know a lot of readers out there in Massachusetts probably going, oh, this is ridiculous. Let's just legalize it already. So good work, Massachusetts state cops. Thanks for making our case for us. We're back with some data mining. Does your doctor care about your pot smoking? Not much.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in cannabisradio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Mentions the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on CannabisRadio.com. And don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well. But words are my shit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Marijuana legalization is a worldwide phenomenon. Get yourself positioned for the global cannabis marketplace by attending the International Cannabis Business Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You'll learn from established cannabis professionals, elected officials, and internationally recognized marijuana law reform activists. You'll also enjoy the ICBC's famous VIP party featuring ICBC special guest speaker and Canadian native Tommy Chong. The ICBC is happening in Vancouver on Thursday and Friday, October 13th and 14th at the Hyatt Regency. Log on to internationalcbc.com today to reserve your tickets. That's internationalcbc.com, and bookmark our page for the next ICBCs taking place in Berlin, Germany and San Francisco, California. Don't miss the International Cannabis Business Conference, internationalcbc.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we pull up a study that was published recently in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. It was a survey that they issued to a bunch of doctors, 233 of them, primary care doctors, and they offered 9 hypothetical patient behaviors to these doctors and asked them, on a scale of 1 to 10, if your patient came in here and asked you about this particular issue, how concerned would you be? How much would that bother you as a physician? Now, they asked them about things like obesity, whether you have firearms in the house, your alcohol use, not wearing a helmet on a motorcycle or a bike, having sex with hookers, smoking, depression, abortions, and marijuana use. Asked them about those 9 different things and wanted to find out how bad of a problem, how serious of a problem, do doctors think this is. Now, the point wasn't to figure out which of these were the most worrisome or the least worrisome per se. It was really more to try to figure out whether a doctor's political leanings, whether they were Republican or Democrat, whether that made a difference in how doctors are treating their patients. And we'll come back to that. There's some interesting findings there as well. But the one that's most interesting for us is in the ratings of these 9 health behaviors I listed for you, marijuana use was the least worrisome of these problems. In fact, it was tied with whether or not you had a previous abortion as the lowest worrisome items in the list. On a scale of 1 to 10, the average from these 233 doctors was a 5.7. 5.7 in worry. Kind of a meh, whatever, on your marijuana use. By comparison's sake, the rest of the seven behaviors, other than abortions and marijuana use, all scored almost a 7.5 or higher in their average. Whether or not there were firearms in the house was a 7.4, leading all the way to the tie for the most worrisome things to your doctor is if you're riding a bike or a motorcycle without a helmet or having sex with hookers, 8.4, either one. And in fact, when it comes to either one of those things, you should definitely wear protection. I couldn't help it. Sorry. Anyway, the concern here for the doctors is far more concerned about tobacco use, 8.2, alcohol use, 7.8, and obesity, 7.8, than marijuana use at 5.7. Tobacco and alcohol, of course, being legal drugs, and obesity being the result of the other legal drugs of sugar and fat and carbs. So your Big Mac, your cigarette, and your Coors beer are far more concerned to your doctor than the joint you're smoking, or whether or not you've had an abortion for that matter. Now, the other part of this study where they sussed out what the political leanings were pretty interesting as well. What they found here is that the marijuana use, while it was still the lowest concern for the doctors, was a greater concern for the Republican doctors than the Democratic doctors. According to the study, quote, Republican physicians are more likely to discuss health risks of marijuana with their patients, urge the patient to cut down, and discuss legal risks, end quote. Unsurprisingly, the Republican doctors were also more concerned about your previous abortions than the Democratic doctors were. And on the flip side, the Democratic doctors were far more concerned about whether or not you had firearms in the house than the Republican doctors. So they did find on some of these issues that the political ideology of the doctor made a difference in their evaluation of the medical seriousness of your condition. And I think we could all agree we don't want our doctors' politics to influence their view of science. So I don't know how we fix that or what sort of education is necessary to adjust for this bias, but it is definitely a bias. The researchers are the doctors who were concerned when they do have a concern. It wasn't about marijuana use per se. It was about heavy marijuana use, whether or not you're using daily, multiple times a day, and so forth. So it's good news coming out of this study. The National Academy of Sciences, this is out there on their journal right now. And the study doesn't look into whether or not these doctors are located in medical marijuana states or not. It'd be nice to have some data on the relative educational levels of the doctors in the medical states compared to the non-medical states to see who of among those are more concerned about your marijuana use. It's also something that needs to be addressed is the fact that so many of these doctors don't even have an understanding of our endocannabinoid system. The estimates I've heard have been 14%, just about one out of seven medical schools have any sort of formal instruction on the endocannabinoid system. One out of seven. Can you imagine your mechanic going to your mechanic if one out of seven of them were the only ones who had been told about the transmission system? I mean, the endocannabinoid system is an incredibly important part of the operation of our human body. To not have formal education on that is shocking. So we need to continue legalizing medical marijuana, legalizing recreational marijuana to remove the stigma and the impediments that prevent our physicians, the people who are supposed to take care of our health, from utilizing not only the medical cannabis that can help prevent disease and disability and help deal with those problems, but also to recognize that the recreational use, the occasional responsible recreational use by adults, is not only of little harm, but of great benefit when we talk about reducing stress, when we talk about reducing anxiety and insomnia. Soon enough, they will know. Soon enough, we will have this kind of education. And in a couple generations, we'll look back at this and laugh at the dark ages of medical science that could not recognize the most beneficial plant to mankind. All right, we'll be right back with a super rant after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Our daughter Rebecca could have a seizure at any given time that could take her life.
When you have 200 seizures a day, she gets so scared.
I've learned a lot about the benefits of medical marijuana in the treatment of intractable epilepsy in children. We feel her saying to us, Mom, Dad,
help me.
When is this gonna stop? Why don't you, my parents who love me, do something? And we can't.
Please help us help our daughter.
Our daughter Rebecca needs all options for medical marijuana, so please vote yes on Amendment 2.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey, everybody. It's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Fear and loathing in Sacramento. Now, in my rants, I am usually reticent to invite any comparison to Dr. Hunter S. Thompson. Not just as a huge fan, with the sense not to compare myself to such a giant, but also as a recreational drug user, with nowhere near Dr. Thompson's Dionysian appetite, tolerance, and selection of entertaining recreational substances. So, I apologize for the title. Apologies to Dr. Thompson, but there were no two better words to describe what I just experienced at the California State Capitol. I was there yesterday for an event billed as a debate over the merits of California's Prop 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. Unlike my usual debate appearances against Kevin Sabet, the Idaho Drug Czar, and other prohibitionists, this time I'd be facing off against fellow cannabis consumers who oppose this legalization initiative. You know, I call them stoners against legalization, and they don't take too kindly to that moniker. Now, joining me on the Yes on 64 side were two other panelists. One was Dale Schaefer. He's an attorney and a medical marijuana patient who was busted with his then-wife Molly, a breast cancer survivor, in the town of Cool, California. You can read about it in a book called Cool Madness. The feds counted up all the state legal, locally approved 15 plant medical cannabis gardens they'd been harvesting for cancer patients, added them all up over a 3-year period, the statute of limitations for how long they could press these kind of charges, and since the combined total of 3 years worth of grows totaled more than 100 plants, Dale and Molly each served five-year mandatory minimum sentences in federal prison. Also on our side was Sister Kate, dressed in her full powder blue and white nun's habit. She's part of a non-denominational order that helps patients with medical marijuana in California. I had agreed to appear at the debate because attorney Letitia Pepper was going to be leading the No on 64 side. Letitia is one of the loudest voices stirring up the fear of Prop 64. She's composed long, convoluted legal theories that she says prove Prop 64 is a Trojan horse designed to kill Prop 215, the California medical marijuana law. She's been a presence at various Prop 64 functions, handing out her flyers that warn of medical marijuana's demise for the benefit of nefarious corporate agendas. She's a well-known gadfly among my California reform colleagues, whose failure to observe rules of decorum at times requires the intervention of law enforcement, who she then sues for interfering with her First Amendment right to be a boisterous, disruptive pain in the ass. Now, I've been unraveling and debunking Letitia's scaremongering and legal fantasies ever since she used the same tactics against Prop 19 back in 2010. I spent all last weekend digesting her online screeds and meticulously researching the California Health and Safety Codes and Prop 64's language to disprove her fearmongering. I couldn't wait to debunk her live on stage for the benefit of the voters who might be tricked by her scary predictions and influenced by her law degree. Well, it was not to be. As I arrived at the Capitol, I found Letitia speaking with the organizer of the event, Shelby Lucero from budtracker.com. And the following quotes for the rest of this rant are paraphrased. They're as close as I can remember them, but they pretty much sum up the gist of what was said. Letitia was informing Shelby that she would not be appearing on the panel today because, quote, "You didn't respond to my email concerning my problems with how you have set up the agenda," end quote. Shelby calmly and professionally accepted Letitia's last-second cancellation, which is the second straight debate I've shown up to where the opponent is too chicken to face me and cancels at the last moment. Shelby even allowed Letitia to then set up a table to the right of the dais, replete with her anti-Prop 64 flyers, stickers, and posters. So, our opponents for the No on 64 panel consisted of Kevin Saunders, a mayoral candidate, longtime medical marijuana activist, and two other gentlemen, one named Sean Kiernan, who represents a group that gives free medical marijuana to veterans. That group, by the way, also supplied about half the audience that was supporting the No on 64 side. The event was sparsely attended, however, maybe about 30 people max. And the balance of those 30 were probably 2-1 for the no side. Well, the debate began, and immediately the fear kicked in. Their primary fear is that passing Prop 64 is a trick to end Prop 215. Fear that legalization means the end of medical marijuana. Fear that marijuana will cost $500 an ounce after legalization. Fear that their group won't be able to give free weed to vets after legalization. Fear that new crimes are created and minors are being criminalized by legalization. Fear that there will be more marijuana arrests following legalization. Fear that legalization gives the legislature power to repeal the rights granted not just by medical marijuana, but by the legalization itself. Fear that all of Prop 64 is an elaborate ruse by the elite 1% to seize the cannabis market. All of these fears and more were articulated by the No on 64 side. All they were missing was any citation of relevant passages of Prop 64 or comparisons to four other legal states that puts these predictions of fear anywhere near the reality most of us inhabit. Now, Dale and I are quite familiar with Prop 64 and the current California marijuana laws. We responded to all their fears with calm recitation of the relevant sections of the act. No, Prop 215 does not end with Prop 64. In fact, the act contains many sections that either directly state that Prop 64's regulations don't apply to medical marijuana, or sections that improve Prop 215 by adding additional protections and rights. No, the regulation of medical marijuana you're lamenting as the end was achieved through the MCRSA, the new medical marijuana regulations passed by the state last year, not by Prop 64. No, marijuana is not going to cost $500 an ounce after legalization. The data from all the states that have legalized so far have shown a price crash following legalization. Buds that go for $15 to $18 a gram in California's medical dispensaries, pre-tax, sell for an average between $7 to $10 with tax in Colorado, Washington, and Oregon's recreational pot shops. No, Prop 64 does allow nonprofits to give away weed, just so long as the taxes have been paid on it. No, the new crimes that you're citing as crimes are crimes that exist now that Prop 64 either maintains or reduces the penalties for, including reducing the penalties for all marijuana violations by minors from crimes to infractions with no possibility of jail. No, there is no logical way you can reduce felonies to misdemeanors, misdemeanors to infractions, and infractions to legal acts, and then end up with more arrests. Legalization takes from police their ability to claim the smell of pot and begin investigating you. Legalization retires the pot-sniffing canine officers. In Colorado, 80% of the charges for all marijuana crimes, not just the 1 ounce and six plant crimes made legal, all marijuana crimes, 80% of the charges disappeared following legalization. In Washington, it was a 63% decline in arrests, presumably less decline than Colorado because Washington bans personal cannabis cultivation. No, Prop 64 grants amendment authority by majority vote only to the Section 5 medical marijuana regs and the Section 6 recreational marijuana regs, but not medical or recreational rights and not medical or recreational limits. And they may amend the Prop 64 to reduce but not increase penalties or to increase possession and cultivation limits, because that's essentially reducing a penalty on a greater amount. Those are the only things the legislature can change with a 50% majority. A two-thirds majority is required for any other amendment to Prop 64, and whatever they amend has to comport with the Section 3 purpose and intent. So this fantasy that Prop 64 would pass, give us possession and grow rights, only to be repealed by a two-thirds vote of the legislature, is incredibly unlikely, since the purpose of an intent of Prop 64 is to, quote, permit adults 21 years and older to use, possess, purchase, and grow non-medical marijuana, end quote. Now, they might try. I suppose it's possible the legislature might try to repeal the grow rights and the possession rights that were just passed in an initiative by a majority of the people, but they'd be subject to an immediate lawsuit for violating the purpose and intents, and we would likely win that lawsuit. And no, the elite 1% can't even get into the California market with their mega grows until 2021. The priority in licensing in Prop 64 goes to the existing medical marijuana operators, giving them 5 whole years to establish their dominance in the marketplace. Well, all this research and recitation by Dale and I about the statistics from the legal states and the text of Prop 64, we might as well have been Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 to the no on 64 side. God, I know how Hillary Clinton feels now, because it was like debating Donald Trump. We could bring all the facts, science, reason, and logic we wanted. All they would do is just insult, deny, deflect, and fearmonger. The loathing part kicked in almost every time I would respond to one of their fears with reason backed by evidence. Audience members, usually the veterans, would shout over me while I was talking, becoming belligerent enough that law enforcement had to calm them down. The two non-Saunders panelists directly insulted me from the stage. One called me a carpetbagger. The other one made some slam about my mother. And they also impugned my integrity, saying, quote, one of them said, quote, he's paid by MPP to travel the country to confuse people, end quote. Another one of them said, quote, He works for Normal, who pays him to spread lies, end quote. And to his credit, Kevin Saunders chided those other two No on 64 panelists for that. Thank you, Kevin. And for the record, haters, my last paycheck from Normal was in mid-2012, and I've never received a dime from any other reform organization or any legalization campaign. Folks, you don't have to pay me to fight for my own freedom. Now, the fact that I became the focal point for their collective hatred wasn't really surprising. I mean, the other targets were a 5-year drug war POW and a nun. But even then, there was one point during Sister Kate's turn when one of the vets started screaming about how the Vatican is an autonomous city-state and something about crime and corruption, forcing the exasperated nun to exclaim, "We're not even Catholic!" To cap off this absurdity, there was one question that Saunders decided Letitia Pepper ought to answer, and yielded his time to her. Astonishingly, the moderators allowed the woman who canceled at the last moment to jump up on the dais and take the mic. And of course, they were rewarded by her beginning her statement with, quote, "The reason I'm not on the panel here today is because the organizers lied to me about the format," end quote, followed by whatever nonsensical paranoid rambling that she uttered that I've since forgotten. Well, eventually, one of the No on 64 panelists declared that I was upset because I was losing this debate to the squeals of delight from the 20-odd stoners against legalization in the audience. And in a sense, I was, because this wasn't a debate so much as an episode of the Jerry Springer Show. But for any on-the-fence voter with a modicum of sense, the incoherent rage and paranoid fear displayed by the No on 64 side will probably move more votes into the yes column. Just like the No on I-502 people back in 2012 convinced many Washingtonians that if those people think it's awful, well, there must be something good about it. And with Prop 64 currently standing at 60% in recent polls, hell, you can judge my debate performance any way you like. And just like the No on I-502 people, be ready, because I'll be back in 3 years after Prop 64 passes to present all the data that confirm the sky will fall predictions as the paranoid delusions they are. Legalization is not going to harm medical marijuana. It can only improve the lives of patients and non-patients alike by ending the contraband nature of cannabis, by ending the criminality of its users, by guaranteeing for all adults the bare minimum of a 6-plant indoor garden in their home that no locality can ban. These No on 64 people are convinced that it's an either or choice. We can either have Prop 215 or we can have Prop 64. But if we pass Prop 64, Prop 215 goes away, and it doesn't matter how many times you show them the sections in Prop 64 that protect Prop 215. It doesn't matter how much data you show them from the other states that have legalized marijuana that have medical programs that show far cheaper prices once you legalize. They complain that there's going to be a 15% excise tax and a $9.25 flower tax per ounce that's going to raise the price of their marijuana. I was reading one story in the LA Times today. Lynette Davies, who was there at the debate, was complaining that Prop 64 and all its taxes and regulations and paperwork and inspections, why, that's going to raise the price of marijuana way beyond what her patients can afford, as she's selling her patient a $33 eighth. $33 eighth. You know, last time I paid over 30 bucks for an eighth here in the Pacific Northwest? Long time. We're finding them around here for 20 bucks with 37% taxes and state and local sales taxes in Washington State. We're finding the same sort of prices here in Oregon. In Colorado, they're already getting in during the 420 week, they had grams below $5. And you want to complain about the high prices for your patients that you have so much compassion for that you're charging them $33 an eighth, that you're charging $15 a gram in some cases, $18 in some cases.
Cry me a river. You want to have compassion for patients? Stop forcing them to have to go to some doc in the box every year to get the permission slip to use the plant they should be allowed to use anyway. If you really have compassion for patients, you open up the market for as much cultivation of cannabis as possible. If you really have compassion for patients, you want to see it, the market flooded with so much marijuana that the price crashes to such an extent that even with the added 15% tax, even with the added 925 an ounce, even with the added cost of regulations and inspections, the price of medicine for patients is lower than what you're selling it to them for now. I've just about had it with these Prop 215 people who think that it's the perfect, most God's own initiative, that nothing ever needs to change. I literally have some of them that were saying that we don't need to do anything about Prop 215. We don't need to change anything because anybody can go get a rec. Anybody can just go get a rec and be protected. Because, of course, all use is medical, right? Well, look, all you're doing there is just admitting that what you have under Prop 215 is the sham and fraud you complained that we said it was. If you're admitting that we don't need legalization because anyone can lie to a doctor and get a recommendation, you are admitting to all those legislators in all the other states that don't have medical marijuana that their complaints about medical marijuana are valid. But you want to hate me for it. I get it. You want to hate me for it. No, sorry. That's not going to wash anymore. Now that legalization has taken root in this country and the support for it only begins to increase or is only continuing to increase in this country, the time for medical marijuana on the stage of reform is over or beginning to conclude, let's say, because there's still a few states that could use it. But when we're talking California, West Coast, we're talking about places that have had medical marijuana for over a decade or longer, it's time to start winding that down and thinking about all the rest of the cannabis consumers who have maintained criminal status for these past 20 years, while the few people who are sick or willing to lie to doctors have been protected from arrest and incarceration. It is time to end the artificial distinction that says some people are sick enough to protect and the rest of them are healthy enough to imprison. The whole point of medical marijuana in the first place was in opposition to marijuana prohibition. The whole point of medical marijuana was that all cannabis consumers were criminals, all cannabis consumers were subject to arrest, all cannabis consumers were subject to imprisonment. So let's take a politically expedient route to protect a few of them, the ones that are the sickest, the ones for whom we can pull the heartstrings of the voters and force them into that emotional dissonance of, well, what do we hate worse, potheads or cancer patients suffering? That is coming to an end because if we're not arresting and incarcerating anyone anymore, why do we need an exception for the people who are sick? That's going to take a while to get to that point where it's perfect. Absolutely. And so long as we're still taking these baby steps of 1 ounce and six plants and all sorts of limitations, then yes, we need to have a medical designation so those people can possess more. So those people won't have to pay taxes in some states. Well, even in California, they're not going to have to pay the sales and use taxes at least. So yes, there's going to be this transitory step where we still have to recognize medical use and increase the limits for it. But again, that only exists in opposition to the fact that marijuana is prohibited somewhere. We got to limit patients in the Pacific Northwest and the West Coast, we got to limit them to a certain number of plants because people in Kansas, people in Chicago, people all across the Midwest will pay $350 to $500 an ounce for the stuff. We have to limit plant counts for patients because entrepreneurs working on the unregulated market can triple their investment by shipping weed east. But once we get marijuana legalized nationally, once there is a national market for cannabis, once nobody in any state can be arrested and prosecuted for its possession and cultivation, then there's no need for medical marijuana anymore. I think what has happened is over the years, medical marijuana has evolved into this thing where some Californians just think it's legal. They just think it's, they got theirs. They're not getting busted. They got a place to shop for weed. What's the problem? Well, the problem is narcissism. The problem is selfishness. The problem is such a narrow worldview as to think you and your pot use is the only thing that matters. The problem is not recognizing that patients in, oh, I don't know, say Nebraska, patients in Iowa are never going to get the chance to access whole plant cannabis for medical use until California legalizes. It's a worldview that doesn't recognize that legalization is a process that has to unfold not just in your state, but throughout the entire United States and the rest of the world in a series of steps. One step building on the success of the previous steps. And you people want to give Kevin Sabet, the prohibitionist, and all the law enforcement cops, DAs, and prison guards that oppose Prop 64 their second defeat of legalization in California in a six-year span? Do you know how much that will impact the rollout, the development of marijuana reform throughout the world? No, obviously you do not recognize what a huge vote this is coming up in the state of California. And this paranoid fear, and it's especially resplendent in Letitia Pepper's batshittery. The manipulations and the twisting of and the assumptions of what could happen after legalization are just profoundly ignorant of reality and of how politics work. Everything you read in Letitia's stuff is, well, if they do this, then they're going to do this. And if they do that, then they're going to do that, with no supporting evidence to show why they would do that, why they would contradict the will of the voters who just by a majority legalized marijuana, why they would want to destroy medical marijuana that's supported by more than 80% of the voters in California, why they would want to commit electoral suicide by attacking highly popular measures is insane. I mean, it's pretty sad when the talking points that you're getting from the stoners against legalization are copied and pasted from Kevin Sabet's own propaganda. Dragonfly Deleuze on one of her blogs actually has copied and pasted one of the Project Sam lines about, oh, only 0.1% of state inmates are actually in jail for possession of marijuana. Most people don't really go to jail for marijuana. The same damn talking point. Kevin Saunders tried to address this, the whole stoners against legalization thing, trying to set himself apart by saying, my name is Kevin Saunders, not Kevin Sabet. Well, Mr. Saunders, I agree with you. You are Kevin Saunders. You are not Kevin Sabet. It just so happens both of you are voting against legalization this year. It just so happens both of you are supporting an agenda this year that guarantees more Californians next year will get tickets, arrested, and imprisoned over their use or cultivation of cannabis. Sorry if I offend you. Sorry if you don't like me. Sorry if you want to heckle me. But I'm going to give you as much respect and admiration as I give Sabet, as I give the cops, as I give the drug czar when they tell me I'm a criminal for using cannabis and must remain one for at least two more years. All right, that's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned for hour two. We'll take your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ. Also, I will give you my detailed rebuttals to Letitia Pepper's batshittery that, of course, nobody would listen to at the debate. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.